graduation for Lenora from seminary, and so they're celebrating in Orlando with their family. She won several awards for excellence in languages, Greek and Hebrew, and worship, and a couple other things. So we celebrate with them. If you're new, we welcome you especially. But for all of you, if you would tear off the connection card and fill that in and then give it to, pass it to the end, and when the offering plate comes by, you can place it in the offering plate. And so we're delighted you're here to worship with us. Today's mission box is Solomon's Porch. And we get not only a verbal thing, but a singing thing from our friends from near Tallahassee. Welcome, Lloyd and Melanie Monroe. Welcome.
Good morning.
Pentecost, there you go.
We're going to do a song. We're going to do a song by the Lubin Brothers called You'll Be Rewarded.
I am walking with my Lord each day, telling everyone I see. If they're headed down the wrong highway, asking them to walk with me.
Join me in my journey,
prayers.
If you're sad and worried, Jesus surely cares.
If you'll
serve him in this life, brother, you'll be rewarded over there.
Those who travel down the road of sin, wear a lock upon their heart, seeking honor and the praise of men, God from them will say depart.
Join me in my journey.
If you're sad and worried, Jesus surely cares. If you'll serve him in this life, sister, you'll be rewarded over there. Well, I was headed down the wrong highway, many journeyed there with me. At the crossing I was made to pray, now I'm singing victory.
Join me in my journey,
if you're sad and worried, Jesus surely cares. If you'll serve him in this life, pilgrim, you'll be rewarded over there.
Brother, you'll be rewarded over there.
Thank you.
That's a mouthful.
Well, I'm Melanie, this is Lloyd, and we are the founders of Porch de Solomon from Guatemala.
Joaquina, Florida, 20 miles east of Tallahassee. We moved to Guatemala 11 years ago. I was a civil trial lawyer. We felt called to do this. We founded it. And here's what we do with your help, hosting short-term mission teams, year-round humanitarian relief, our coffee, our cafe outreach, live music outreach, and helping shake up churches. When our teams come down, they leave a tangible benefit. Praise God, 86 life-changing houses have been built. Yvonne and Rambo Ralph helped build one, and they're coming back next month. Some of our teams are medical or dental teams working out in the villages. And year-round, the world's fourth worst chronic malnutrition rates. We have a food program, a baby milk program, a cleft palate surgery nutrition program.
We do a lot of things.
Clean water, clean drinking water filters, good stoves. All of this costs money. You help us do what we do, including school scholarships. If you don't have money, you don't go to school in Guatemala, so we 100 children and youth. People bottom out with abundant cheap corn liquor, and we help them through recovery and give them a job. Here we are in the world's number four hippie travel destination, Panajachel, with Solomon's Porch Cafe and the Hotel California, where we put our team. And there's Melanie having more fun than a nice Christian lady ought to have at a school fundraiser. We also do a Sunday afternoon weekly worship gathering. That was a mouthful there, wasn't it? But that's where we get together with all this craziness. We appreciate Trinity of Gainesville, not Did you know there's a Trinity United Methodist Church in Tallahassee? We appreciate you being a partner church, sending teams, sending money. The mission box really, really, really helps us. We're going to be outside. We would love to answer your questions. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Ted. Thank you, everyone, for this time.
I enjoyed this morning just talking to some of the new people that are going down. So, I don't know. We always really like the Trinity groups, and I'm really already liking the new group that's going. So thank you so much.
Welcome home. Why are we here? Let's stand as we begin our worship together. We are not alone. we live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Like there may be some first-time visitors or fairly new people here. If you're new, would you mind raising your hand and let us know who you are and where you're from? Anybody here for the... Yes, tell us, would you, who you are and where you're from? Say it again. Brittany? Heidi. From where? From Columbia, South America. Wait a minute, just retired from working 37 years in New York at the United Nations. You're taking care of your 86-year-old mom. Heidi, wonderful to have you here. Welcome. How did you hear about Trinity? How did you happen to come here today? You live down the street. Nice to have you here, Heidi. Welcome. You're going to love this church, and we'll love having you here. Anybody else visiting the first time? Over here, tell us, would you, who you are and where you're from? Thanks. Hey, Bill and Sue Brown, I know you guys. Nice to have you here. Are you in Cedar Key? You're back and forth. Welcome. Good to have you guys here. Anybody else new or visiting over here? Oh, yeah. Tell us, would you, who you are and where you're from? Mickey and Sister Louise and Sister Susan. I know Sister Susan. Where are you from? Curry, North Carolina. You go to a Baptist church. Thanks be to God. Yeah. Nice to have you here. Anybody else visiting or new among us? Over here, somebody. Yes, tell us, would you? Linda Utsi from Atlanta. Relocated to Gainesville. Welcome, Linda. Get out of the traffic in Atlanta. Yeah, well, wait till the fall, and then it'll be different here. But, yeah. Anybody else? This is wonderful to have all of you new folks here. For our prayer time, we're going to bring up the names of persons who are in the hospital or rehab, and we invite your prayers for these persons. In addition, Keith Balcom, had an emergency appendectomy on Friday, so we'd invite you to keep him in your prayers. Now, the Methodists get together every 4 years for you Baptists. Every 4 years, it's called General Conference. The good news is we don't get together more often than that. Because what we try to do at General Conference, and I've been to four of them, you're elected, and is you talk about relational, well, you have some legislative, but you talk about relational matters in a legislative language, which is very challenging. And my friend Tom Berlin, who has a large Methodist church in Alexandria, Virginia, he posted this in his Facebook or somewhere that I saw it. I thought it was just, because he's there, and it's very hard work, and it's very wearying, very challenging. And he was trying to figure out why it's so hard when this church does so much good globally. And I thought his insights were helpful as we lead into this prayer time. So he's asking why, and he says there's three reasons he thinks. One is because we're a global church, and we don't try to do colonialism. It's not like America telling everybody else, or the U.S. church. And so you have people from all over the world, 860 delegates, each with a voice and each with a vote. And so they come together with all their ethnic and cultural differences. And it's, some people have compared the General Conference to the U.S. Congress. But really, Heidi, it's like the United Nations with all of those dimensions, which is, has its positives and has challenges. And we try to translate into every language that's represented there, and there are scores of languages. The second issue is ideology. We, United Methodists, are a very broad tent. Just like Trinity is a very broad tent. You have very conservative people here, and you have very liberal people here, and everybody in between. So the United Methodist Church, I've told you before, the United Methodist Church counsels its members, both George W. Bush and Hillary Clinton. So you have a very broad tent. Part of the beauty of the church. It's also part of the challenges of agreeing on things. We don't see all these social issues the same, but cling to the belief that the love of Christ will bind us together through difficult issues. In our local church, Tom observes, and I think he's right, we often handle our differences with polite silence. But you have to be with these folks the next day so you don't yell at them too much. The General Conference is not necessarily the way it is. We speak out loud with microphones and live streams. And most of the delegates from outside the U.S. are more conservative than most of the delegates from within the U.S. on most social issues. And then theologically, Tom's observation and mine that the United Methodist Church is more in agreement theologically than maybe it's ever been around the creeds, the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, or some of the creeds that we use here about the centrality of Christ and that sort of thing. Our differences are in how we interpret Scripture, just like here. So for some, it's, and particularly around the same gender issue, for some, any acceptance of any lifestyle or practice beyond the heterosexuality is a denial of the Bible's authority. Some of our folks here believe that. For others, as some of our folks believe, changing the interpretation of the Bible in light of current understanding of human identity, science, and sociology is something that we should do. Both groups hold a high view of Scripture, but just see it differently. And then for many people, this is very, very, very personal. Because of their own situation and their own family situation and your friends. So you'll hear news reports because it goes through May 20th around these issues. We try to engage these relational matters in legalistic sessions. There's a concern about our church. A concern that, well, so I just invite you to keep our church in your prayers. I, for one, am grateful that we're a church that doesn't sort of sweep everything under the carpet when we talk about this. And I pray that somehow we'll come to an agreement. My personality is, I'm happy to let other people think the way they think. That's just sort of my personality. And not everybody sees the approach to this the same way. So, General Conference is an intense time. But we pray that God will continue to guide the church. I hope that's helpful to you. Would you join me in prayer? God, we do come to the church with different views and different ways of expressing them and different ways of even looking at Scripture. And we can let that sort of break us apart, or we can let that be a thing that calls us to what is central, namely the person of Jesus Christ, who holds us together. For as Colossians remind us, it is in Christ that holds everything together. Our lives, our church, our society. So we pray for ourselves and for the General Conference. And we pray on this day of Pentecost that your Spirit will come, even as we've already sung and come and live in me and live in each of us and fill us with strength and power and the grace and ability to do your will. Be with these whom we've mentioned in our prayers we brought up on the screen, and we pray for your blessings upon them. We give you thanks for Lenora and her graduation and for the excitement that's in their family. Bless our new visitors here and our walk together, that we might indeed be the church of Jesus Christ in this day and age. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we gather together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you come and we'll receive our offering this morning. As they come, we pray over the offering. God, we ask your blessings on these gifts. We give them to your honor and glory for the work of the kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to tell you 10 things I've learned in these past 22 years. I've learned more than that, but I'm just going to tell you 10 things. One of those things is that the music at Trinity United Methodist Church is just amazing. It's wonderful. Thank you, Handbells, Chancel Choir, and the anthem today, both the anthems, The Gift of Love. You've been such a loving congregation, and the church is one foundation, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm not going to do what I did the other two services. I'm just going to talk to you for a little bit. As I read the scripture, though, on the day of Pentecost, you know, the Spirit came and just empowered these little band of discouraged people, and they changed the world. It just was so dramatic that the leaders, religious leaders, were ready to squash it, ready to put the leaders in prison. They did, but they got out. And so one council member, a Pharisee and teacher of the law named Gamaliel, well respected by all the people, he was also Paul's teacher, stood up and ordered that the men, Peter and John, be taken outside for a few moments. And then he said, here's my recommendation in this case. Distance yourselves from these men. Let them go. If their plan or activity is of human origin, it will end in ruin. But if it's of God, you won't be able to stop it. Instead, you would actually find yourselves fighting God. The council was convinced by his reasoning. So the first thing I've learned and been confirmed in these 22 years, or all 44 years of ministry, is the church is of God. This is God's doing. This is God's passion. The church is God's plan. And when God empowers it, as God has empowered this church, and when we do it right, it's a beautiful, glorious, accepting, beautiful, passionate force that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The Church of Jesus Christ, what nurtured us, nurtured you, and loves you, and supports you, your kids and your grandkids. And that's the first thing. The second thing I want to mention is life in the Spirit is a beautiful thing. I'm glad to be a part of a liturgical church that does the liturgical seasons. You know, Pentecost, we celebrate once again the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we invite again anew and afresh God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God which hovered over the waters of creation, the Spirit of God in Psalm 139, that the psalmist said, where can I go from your Spirit? Wherever I go, you're already there. And Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, and God will pour out God's Holy Spirit on you in a new and personal way, in a dynamic way, and it's what helps us get up and get over the things that challenge us. It helps us receive forgiveness. The Spirit guides us and directs us and empowers us and strengthens us. So the second thing is the confirmation of the Spirit is alive in our church and in me and in you, and I celebrate and thank God for that. Now I have to look at my notes for the third and fourth and fifth thing, if I can find it here. The third thing is all of us is better than any one of us. I was in a staff parish relations committee, and a businesswoman was in there, and she made this announcement, all of us is better than any one of us. And I thought, hey, wait a minute, I'm the preacher, I'm the leader here. But I came to see that all of us is better than any one of us. In fact, all the best decisions that we've made as a church, most all of those ideas have come from you. Most all of those ideas have come from you. It was your long-range planning committee that decided to relocate out here. It was your long-range planning committee that did this and did that. And you came up with Alpha. You came up with rebuilding. You came up with all the financial piece. Many people credit me with the Gathering for Peace, Understanding, and Hope, but really, it was Pat Kilby. Pat, are you here? Pat came to me when the guy was getting ready to burn the Koran and said, Dan, you've got to do something. And when Pat says you've got to do something, you do something. Pat, it's true. You know it's true. All right. All of us are better than any one of us. That's been the strength of this church. And will be. And Steve and Catherine, those of you who are new, Heidi and the rest of you, Linda, I'm retiring. Maybe you figure that out now. I'm leaving. Actually, June 5th is my last Sunday. We're leaving town June 21st, so we'll be around. Steve and Catherine will arrive August 1st, but their first Sunday will be August 7th. But they will tell you, and I will tell you, as talented as they are, and they're amazing, the churches of God, the power of the Spirit, all of us is better than any one of us. A fourth thing that I learned that I didn't expect to learn, they didn't teach it in seminary, is that one time I was riding down the road with a business person, and the person said, "You know the most important person on your staff?" I suggested two or three people. You know? He said, "The most important person on your staff is your bookkeeper." Now, if you had asked 100 seminarians, 100 ministers around the country that question, none of them would say that. But I've learned to trust you and learn from you, and I think this person is right. What was he talking about? He's really talking about trust. Because if you have trouble in finances, it erodes trust in every way. So we're grateful for a really good finance committee and a really good Laura and Randy. It's about trust. One of you wrote me a note this week. He said, "Dan, I like these qualities about you. And I wish the list had been longer, but it was a shorter list." He said, first is trust. Which I wouldn't have thought that, but as he wrote it, he said, trust that you'll do the right thing in your personal life and your church life. Trust that you'll support those in need. Trust that you'll speak out on issues, take a stand on issues, even though I may or may not disagree with you or agree with you. Trust. Really important, isn't it? It's important in your relationships, in all relationships. Number five, I've learned that it's important to ask often the question, what would Jesus do? I think that's why we did what we did with the Gathering for Peace, Understanding, and Hope. What would Jesus do when people are being called out to ostracize and belittle? What would Jesus do? Jesus would step in and alongside them. What would Jesus do when the church across town was folding up and so you stepped in and helped the faith mission? What would Jesus do in your relationship with this or relationship with that? And third, the next one, six, is we have great confidence in Christ. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Remember this church? Isn't that great? Those of us who've been in this town for the last several years, what a privilege that our children or grandchildren grew up knowing Danny Werfel and Tim Tebow, and knowing that you can be a dynamic Christian and an amazing sports figure. And I can't tell you how the impact that's been on our grandchildren. But it's also true, Philippians 4:13, no matter what you're facing, you and I can do all things through Him who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And no matter what you're facing now or will tomorrow or did yesterday, your confidence and strength is found in Him. Number seven is somehow God is always at work, even when we can't see God at work. Even when it looks dark, it looks like the way is blocked and the door is closed, and yet a window opens. Whether it's in the story of Joseph who found himself in the pit or in prison or whatever, God was with him. In the book of Ruth, when it looked like a famine closed the door and then something else opened. Many of you remember back in 1996, we were getting ready to build this building and that building over there, and we got the phone call that said, "I remember I seeing 100 wooden grave markers out on that property." And we thought, oh boy, we may not be able to build anything. And then our ag guys and others worked around that memorial, and we created this most beautiful thing, one of my favorite spots on this campus, a memorial garden. And so God took what looked like a closed door and created a place of beauty where I go often and where people go to have wedding pictures taken and people go to meditate, because that's the nature of God. God could take broken glass and make a thing of beauty. God could take whatever struggle you or I are having and make something God is working at it. Number eight, sometimes distractions are just distractions. How many of you remember when we were discussing whether to build a chapel or not? We had a meeting over here, and we had the chapel plans up on here. Any of you at that meeting? Were any of you at that meeting? Well, I'll call to mind. Do you mind me reminiscing like this? Well, it's too late. I'm going to do it anyway. But we were over here, we were debating about building that beautiful glass chapel. And those of you who are visiting, I hope you can go over and see the chapel. It's an amazing facility. It's going to cost $1.3 million. There was not one question about the $1.3 million. You know what all the questions were about? Where to put the restrooms? And how far away to put the restrooms? And should there be a covering between the restrooms and the chapel? I don't very often put my foot down, but I said, the restrooms are not going to be attached to the chapel. I don't want them attached to the chapel. Well, how far away? I learned more that night about diuretics than I've ever heard in my life. Unbelievable. More plumbing stuff than I ever knew existed. People walked off from the distance from here to the bathroom and said, oh, at any rate. But isn't it a principle in life? I talked to a guy who's leading a strategic plan about another institution. He said in these meetings, people bring up the weirdest, unrelated things. You watch the next argument you're in. 90% of the argument is about what it's not about. Distraction. Keeping your eye on the main thing. Keeping the main thing the main thing. Thanks be to God we built a beautiful chapel. Bathrooms are 25 and a half feet away. I don't know how far away they are, but they're all right. The ninth thing is, windows are better than walls. Aren't they? Windows are better than walls. Aren't you glad we got windows? I see you looking out there. I know you're not listening to me, but I see you looking out there. Well, you need walls to support the load-bearing walls and all that. But this church, partly because the property is so beautiful, but you know, walls divide us. Walls separate us. Walls distance us. Windows invite conversation. Windows invite understanding. Windows let us see through to a different point of view. Windows are a beautiful thing. Walls are separate. And number 10, we all need each other more than we know. We all need each other more than we know. When Jim Garrett brought the idea in for an all-accessible playground, and we saw the price tag because that's very expensive, we all about passed out. But you all did what you do and created this fully accessible playground over here. And now, thanks to a gift by Dale and Helen Lundgren, we've added two new pieces. Stan, can you bring up that picture? We were told by the manufacturers and the people who brought it, this is the first fully inclusive spinner that's being installed in Florida. And you can be disabled or abled, and so we can mix it up being a spinner. And for autistic people, they love to spin. Well, all of us like to spin, but it's really therapeutic for autism. And then there's another piece that you have to go out and see, or we'll show you another time, but it's a sort of a rocking boat ship kind of thing where able and disabled children can be on there together. Because we all need each other more than we know. And then the 11th thing I've learned is it's an amazing, wonderful thing to have a life partner like Jan to be a part of the ministry. And Jan's been amazing for these past 43 years. Well, would you pray with me? God, this congregation has taught me so much. I'm so grateful. Pray that somehow you, your Spirit to me and through your word has taught something to them. But it's been such a great ride and such a great journey. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we invite you anew and afresh to come into our lives. We invite you anew and afresh to forgive us as we confess our sins before you. And help us to walk with you and in the power of your Spirit, never on our own strength, but through what you do in and through us. And bless this church to the glory of God forever and ever. Amen. Would several of you come forward and get ready for the sacrament of Holy Communion? And often on Sunday we'll receive it and come forward to receive it. And as people are coming forward to get ready for that, let me remind you all that Jesus took the bread that night with his disciples and he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Take and feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. And he took the cup and blessed it and said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, ye all of it. So God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. It can be for us the body and blood of Christ. And that each one, whether member or not member, or whether they're believing or not believing, might receive this gift of life. And in receiving the bread and cup, receive you and your Spirit. This we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen." Friends, come as music is led for you. Thank you. receive the benediction, take somebody's hand if you would. And be sure and greet our visitors and each other. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.